Chapter 13, Text 3, Purport Continued. The body consists of the senses. The Supreme Lord is Rishikesh, which means the controller of the senses. He is the original controller of the senses, just as the king is the original controller of all the activities of the state. The citizens are secondary controllers. The Lord says, "I am also the knower." This means that he is the super knower. The individual soul knows only his particular body. In the Vedic literature, it is stated as follows. Chaitanihi sharirani bijam chapi shubhashubhe tani veti sa yogatma tatak chetra gyaruchyate. This body is called the chetra, and within it dwells the owner of the body and the Supreme Lord, who knows both the body and the owner of the body. Therefore, he is called the knower of all fields. The distinction between the field of activities, the knower of activities, and the supreme knower of activities is described as follows. Perfect knowledge of the constitution of the body, the constitution of the individual soul, and the constitution of the supersoul is known in terms of Vedic literature as jnana. That is the opinion of Krishna. To understand both the soul and the supersoul as one yet distinct is knowledge. One who does not understand the field of activity and the knower of activity is not in perfect knowledge. One has to understand the position of Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer of nature, and Ishvara, the knower who dominates or controls nature and the individual soul. One should not confuse the three in their different capacities. One should not confuse the painter, the painting, and the easel. This material world, which is the field of activities, is nature, and the enjoyer of nature is the living entity, and above them both is the supreme controller, the personality of Godhead. It is stated in the Vedic language, in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 1.12, Bhokta bhogyam preditaram chamatva savam proktam trividham brahmanehetat. There are three Brahman conceptions. Prakriti is Brahman as the field of activities, and the jiva, individual soul, is also Brahman and is trying to control material nature. And the controller of them both is also Brahman, but he is the factual controller. In this chapter, it will also be explained that out of the two knowers, one is fallible and the other is infallible. One is superior and the other is subordinate. One who understands the two knowers of the field to be one and the same contradicts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who states here very clearly, "I am also the knower of the field of activity." One who misunderstands a rope to be a serpent is not in knowledge. There are different kinds of bodies, and there are different owners of the bodies. Because each individual soul has his individual capacity for lording it over material nature, there are different bodies. But the Supreme also is present in them as the controller. The word cha is significant, for it indicates the total number of bodies. That is the opinion of Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Krishna is the supersoul present in each and every body apart from the individual soul. And Krishna explicitly says here that the supersoul is the controller of both the field of activities and the finite enjoyer. Text 4. Tachetam yatcha yadriccha yadvikari yatascha yat sachayo yat pabhavascha tatsamase nameshinu. Now please hear my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted, what its changes are, whence it is produced, who that knower of the field of activities is, and what his influences are. Purport. The Lord is describing the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities in their constitutional positions. One has to know how this body is constituted, the materials of which this body is made, under whose control this body is working, how the changes are taking place, wherefrom the changes are coming, what the causes are, what the reasons are, what the ultimate goal of the individual soul is, and what the actual form of the individual soul is. One should also know the distinction between the individual living soul and the supersoul, their different influences, their potentials, etc. One just has to understand this Bhagavad Gita directly from the description given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all this will be clarified. But one should be careful not to consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every body to be one with the individual soul, the jiva. This is something like equating the potent and the impotent. Text 5. Rishabhir Bahuda Gitam Chando Bhivivadhai Pratak Brahma Sutra Padais Chaiva Hetamodan Bhivinishchitai. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the highest authority in explaining this knowledge. Still, as a matter of course, learned scholars and standard authorities always give evidence from previous authorities. Krishna is explaining this most controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and the supersoul by referring to a scripture, the Vedanta Sutra, which is accepted as authority. First, he says, this is according to different sages. As far as the sages are concerned, besides himself, Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra, is a great sage, and in the Vedanta Sutra, duality is perfectly explained. And Vyasadeva's father, Parashara, is also a great sage, and he writes in his books of religiosity, Aham tvam cha tathanhi. We, you, I, and the various other living entities are all transcendental, although in material bodies. Now we are fallen into the ways of the three modes of material nature according to our different karma. As such, some are on higher levels and some are in the lower nature. The higher and lower natures exist due to ignorance and are being manifested in an infinite number of living entities. But the supersoul, which is infallible, is uncontaminated by the three qualities of nature and is transcendental. Similarly, in the original Vedas, a distinction between the soul, the supersoul, and the body is made, especially in the Katha Upanishad. There are many great sages who have explained this, and Parashara is considered principal among them. The word Chandobhi refers to the various Vedic literatures. The Taittiriya Upanishad, for example, which is a branch of the Yajurveda, describes nature, the living entity, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated before, Chaitra is the field of activities, and there are two kinds of Chaitra Gya, the individual living entity and the supreme living entity. As stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.9, Brahma Pucham Pratishta, there is a manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy known as Annamaya, dependence upon food for existence. This is a materialistic realization of the Supreme. Then, in pranamaya, after realizing the supreme absolute truth in food, one can realize the absolute truth in the living symptoms or life forms. In jnanamaya, realization extends beyond the living symptoms to the point of thinking, feeling, and willing. Then there is Brahman realization, called vijnanamaya, in which the living entity's mind and life symptoms are distinguished from the living entity himself. The next and supreme stage is anandamaya, realization of the all-blissful nature. Thus, there are five stages of Brahman realization, which are called Brahma-puccham. Out of these, the first three, Anamaya, Pranamaya, and Jnanamaya, involve the fields of activities of the living entities. Transcendental to all these fields of activities is the Supreme Lord, who is called Anandamaya. The Vedanta Sutra also describes the Supreme by saying, Anandamayam Vyasat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is by nature full of joy. To enjoy his transcendental bliss, he expands into vijnanamaya, pranamaya, jnanamaya, and annamaya. In the field of activities, the living entity is considered to be the enjoyer, and different from him is the anandamaya. That means that if the living entity decides to enjoy in dovetailing himself with the anandamaya, then he becomes perfect. This is the real picture of the Supreme Lord as the supreme knower of the field, the living entity as the subordinate knower, and the nature of the field of activities. One has to search for this truth in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra. It is mentioned here that the codes of the Brahma Sutra are very nicely arranged according to cause and effect. Some of the sutras or aphorisms are Naviyad Ashruti 232, Natma Shruti 2318, and Paratu Tatrute 2340. The first aphorism indicates the field of activities, the second indicates the living entity, And the third indicates the Supreme Lord, the summum bonum among all the manifestations of various entities. Texts 6 and 7. Mahabhutan hankaro buddhiravyaktam evacha indriyani disaikamcha panchachendriya gochara iccha dvesha sukham dukham sangatas chetanadriti etat chetam samasena sabhikadam udahritam. The five great elements, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the ten senses and the mind, the five sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms and convictions, all these are considered, in summary, to be the field of activities and its interactions. Purport. From all the authoritative statements of the great sages, the Vedic hymns and the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra, the components of this world can be understood as follows. First, there are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. These are the five great elements, Mahabhuta. Then there are false ego, intelligence, and the unmanifested stage of the three modes of nature. Then there are five senses for acquiring knowledge, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. Then five working senses, voice, legs, hands, anus, and genitals. Then, above the senses, there is the mind, which is within and which can be called the sense within. Therefore, including the mind, there are 11 senses altogether. Then there are the five objects of the senses, smell, taste, form, touch, and sound. Now, the aggregate of these 24 elements is called the field of activity. If one makes an analytical study of these 24 subjects, then he can very well understand the field of activity. Then there are desire, hatred, happiness, and distress, which are interactions, representations of the five great elements in the gross body. The living symptoms, represented by consciousness, and convictions are the manifestation of the subtle body, mind, ego, and intelligence. These subtle elements are included within the field of activities. The five great elements are a gross representation of the false ego, which in turn represents the primal stage of false ego, technically called the materialistic conception or tamasa buddhi, intelligence in ignorance. This, further, represents the unmanifested stage of the three modes of material nature. The unmanifested modes of material nature are called pradan. One who desires to know the 24 elements in detail, along with their interactions, should study the philosophy in more detail. In Bhagavad Gita, a summary only is given. The body is the representation of all these factors, and there are changes of the body which are six in number. The body is born, it grows, it stays, it produces byproducts, then it begins to decay, and at the last stage it vanishes. Therefore, the field is a non-permanent material thing. However, the Chetragya, the knower of the field, its proprietor, is different. Texts 8 to 12. Amanitvam adambitvam ahamsakshantir arjavam acharyopasanam shaucham stayam atma vinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityunjara vyadhi dukkha doshanudarshanam asakti anabishanga bhutradaram griharishu nityam cha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu mahichananda yogena bhaktiram yabicharini viviktadesha sevitvam arati janasangsadi adhyatma jnana nityatvam tatva jnanata darshanam eta jnanam mati proktam ajnanam hiratonhita. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. Purport. This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements, as described before. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements, and the process of knowledge, as described here, is the means to get out of it. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse, Mahi chanam niyogena bhaktiram yabhicharini. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So if one does not approach, or is not able to approach, the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. But if one takes to devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvayagunaistattasamasate sura. All the good qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. The principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. As for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles, and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. Nonviolence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body. But actually, nonviolence means not to put others into distress. People in general are trapped by ignorance in the material concept of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. So unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people, so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is nonviolence. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. If one is engaged in the advancement of spiritual knowledge, there will be so many insults and much dishonor from others. This is expected because material nature is so constituted. Even a boy like Prahlad, who, only 5 years old, was engaged in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, was endangered when his father became antagonistic to his devotion. The father tried to kill him in so many ways, but Prahlad tolerated him. So there may be many impediments to making advancement in spiritual knowledge, but we should be tolerant and continue our progress with determination. Simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential, because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. Or, the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. external cleanliness means taking a bath. But for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna always and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This process cleans the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind. Steadiness means that one should be very determined to make progress in spiritual life. Without such determination, one cannot make tangible progress. And self-control means that one should not accept anything which is detrimental to the path of spiritual progress. One should become accustomed to this and reject anything which is against the path of spiritual progress. This is real renunciation. The senses are so strong that they are always anxious to have sense gratification. One should not cater to these demands, which are not necessary. The senses should only be gratified to keep the body fit so that one can discharge his duty in advancing in spiritual life. The most important and uncontrollable sense is the tongue. If one can control the tongue, then there is every possibility of controlling the other senses. The function of the tongue is to taste and to vibrate. Therefore, by systematic regulation, the tongue should always be engaged in tasting the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. As far as the eyes are concerned, they should not be allowed to see anything but the beautiful form of Krishna. That will control the eyes. Similarly, the ears should be engaged in hearing about Krishna and the nose in smelling the flowers offered to Krishna. This is the process of devotional service, and it is understood here that Bhagavad Gita is simply expounding the science of devotional service. Devotional service is the main and sole objective. Unintelligent commentators on the Bhagavad Gita try to divert the mind of the reader to other subjects, but there is no other subject in Bhagavad Gita than devotional service. False ego means accepting this body as oneself. When one understands that he is not his body and his spirit soul, he comes to his real ego. Ego is there. False ego is condemned, but not real ego. In the Vedic literature, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1:4:10, it is said, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am spirit. This I am, the sense of self, also exists in the liberated stage of self-realization. This sense of I am is ego. But when the sense of I am is applied to this false body, it is false ego. When the sense of self is applied to reality, that is real ego. There are some philosophers who say we should give up our ego, but we cannot give up our ego because ego means identity. We ought, of course, to give up the false identification with the body. One should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age, and disease. There are descriptions in various Vedic literatures of birth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the world of the unborn, the child's stay in the womb of the mother, its suffering, etc., are all very graphically described. It should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful. Because we forget how much distress we have suffered within the womb of the mother, we do not make any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings, and they are also mentioned in the authoritative scriptures. These should be discussed. And as far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. No one wants to be diseased, and no one wants to become old, but there is no avoiding these. Unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, considering the distresses of birth, death, old age, and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in spiritual life. As for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy, because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna, have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna, just as Arjuna did. Arjuna did not want to kill his family members, but when he understood that these family members were impediments to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought and killed them. In all cases, one should be detached from the happiness and distress of family life, because in this world, one can never be fully happy or fully miserable. Happiness and distress are concomitant factors of material life. One should learn to tolerate, as advised in Bhagavad Gita. One can never restrict the coming and going of happiness and distress, so one should be detached from the materialistic way of life and be automatically equipoised in both cases. Generally, when we get something desirable, we are very happy, and when we get something undesirable, we are distressed. But if we are actually in the spiritual position, these things will not agitate us. To reach that stage, we have to practice unbreakable devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna without deviation means engaging oneself in the nine processes of devotional service, chanting, hearing, worshiping, offering respect, etc., as described in the last verse of the ninth chapter. That process should be followed. Naturally, when one is adapted to the spiritual way of life, he will not want to mix with materialistic men. That would go against his grain. One may test himself by seeing how far he is inclined to live in a solitary place without unwanted association. Naturally, a devotee has no taste for unnecessary sporting or cinema going or enjoying some social function because he understands that these are simply a waste of time. There are many research scholars and philosophers who study sex life or some other subject, but according to Bhagavad Gita, such research work and philosophical speculation have no value. That is more or less nonsensical. According to Bhagavad Gita, one should make research by philosophical discretion into the nature of the soul. One should make research to understand the self. That is recommended here. As far as self-realization is concerned, it is clearly stated here that bhakti yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between the supersoul and the individual soul. The individual soul and the supersoul cannot be one, at least not in the bhakti conception, the devotional conception of life. This service of the individual soul to the supreme soul is eternal, nityam, as it is clearly stated. So bhakti, or devotional service, is eternal. One should be established in that philosophical conviction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, this is explained. Those who are actually knowers of the Absolute Truth know that the Self is realized in three different phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the last word in the realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, one should reach up to that platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That is the perfection of knowledge. Beginning from practicing humility up to the point of realization of the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, this process is just like a staircase beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. Now, on this staircase, there are so many people who have reached the first floor, the second or the third floor, etc. But unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, he is at a lower stage of knowledge. If anyone wants to compete with God and at the same time make advancement in spiritual knowledge, he will be frustrated. It is clearly stated that without humility, understanding is not possible. To think oneself God is most puffed up. Although the living entity is always being kicked by the stringent laws of material nature, he still thinks, "I am God," because of ignorance. The beginning of knowledge, therefore, is amanitva, humility. One should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth. Text 13. Gheyam yattat pravakshyami yagyatvam itamashnute anadimat param brahma nasattam nasaruchyate. I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Purport. The Lord has explained the field of activities and the knower of the field. He has also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field of activities. Now he begins to explain the knowable, first the soul and then the supersoul. By knowledge of the knower, both the soul and the supersoul, one can relish the nectar of life. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. This is also confirmed here. There is no specific date at which the jiva was born, nor can anyone trace out the history of the jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is beginningless. The Vedic literature confirms this. The Jayate Mriyate Va Vipaschit, Katha Upanishad 1:2:18. The knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he is full of knowledge. The Supreme Lord as the Supersoul is also stated in the Vedic literature, Shretashvatara Upanishad 6:16, to be Pradhana Chetragya Patayar Gunesha, the chief knower of the body and the master of the three modes of material nature. In the Smriti it is said, Dasabhuto Harireva Nanyasyaiva Kadachana. The living entities are eternally in the service of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed by Lord Chaitanya in his teachings. Therefore, the description of Brahman mentioned in this verse is in relation to the individual soul. And when the word Brahman is applied to the living entity, it is to be understood that he is Vijnana Brahma as opposed to Ananda Brahma. Ananda Brahma is the Supreme Brahman, personality of Godhead. Text 14. Sarvatok pani padam tat sarvatok shishado mukam sarvatok shuti malloki sarvama vrityatishtati. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads, and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the Supersoul exists, pervading everything. Purport. As the sun exists, diffusing its unlimited rays, so does the Supersoul, or Supreme Personality of Godhead. He exists in his all-pervading form, and in him exist all the individual living entities, beginning from the first great teacher, Brahma, down to the small ants. There are unlimited heads, legs, hands, and eyes, and unlimited living entities. All are existing in and on the Supersoul. Therefore, the Supersoul is all-pervading. The individual soul, however, cannot say that he has his hands, legs, and eyes everywhere. That is not possible. If he thinks that under ignorance he is not conscious that his hands and legs are diffused all over, but that when he attains to proper knowledge he will come to that stage, his thinking is contradictory. This means that the individual soul, having become conditioned by material nature, is not supreme. The supreme is different from the individual soul. The Supreme Lord can extend his hand without limit. The individual soul cannot. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that if anyone offers him a flower or a fruit or a little water, he accepts it. If the Lord is a far distance away, how can he accept things? This is the omnipotence of the Lord. Even though he is situated in his own abode, far, far away from earth, he can extend his hand to accept what anyone offers. That is his potency. In the Brahma Samhita 5:37, it is stated, Goloka eva nivasatta kilatma bhuta. Although he is always engaged in pastimes in his transcendental planet, he is all-pervading. The individual soul cannot claim that he is all-pervading. Therefore, this verse describes the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead, not the individual soul. Text 15. Sarvendriya gunabhasam sarvendriya vivarjitam asaktam sarva brichayva nirgunam gunaboktricha. The Supersoul is the original source of all senses, yet he is without senses. He is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature, and at the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. Purport. The Supreme Lord, although the source of all the senses of the living entities, doesn't have material senses like they have. Actually, the individual souls have spiritual senses, but in conditioned life they are covered with the material elements, and therefore the sense activities are exhibited through matter. The Supreme Lord's senses are not so covered. His senses are transcendental and are therefore called nirguna. Guna means the material modes, but his senses are without material covering. It should be understood that his senses are not exactly like ours. Although he is the source of all our sensory activities, he has his transcendental senses, which are uncontaminated. This is very nicely explained in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.19, in the verse Apanipado Javano Grahita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no hands which are materially contaminated, but he has his hands and accepts whatever sacrifice is offered to him. That is the distinction between the conditioned soul and the supersoul. He has no material eyes, but he has eyes. Otherwise, how could he see? He sees everything, past, present, and future. He lives within the heart of the living being, and he knows what we have done in the past, what we are doing now, and what is awaiting us in the future. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. He knows everything, but no one knows him. It is said that the Supreme Lord has no legs like us, but he can travel throughout space because he has spiritual legs. In other words, the Lord is not impersonal. He has his eyes, legs, hands, and everything else. And because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we also have these things. But his hands, legs, eyes, and senses are not contaminated by material nature. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that when the Lord appears, he appears as he is by his internal potency. He is not contaminated by the material energy, because he is the Lord of material energy. In the Vedic literature, we find that his whole embodiment is spiritual. He has his eternal form, called Satchidananda Vigraha. He is full of all opulence. He is the proprietor of all wealth and the owner of all energy. He is the most intelligent and is full of knowledge. These are some of the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the maintainer of all living entities and the witness of all activity. As far as we can understand from Vedic literature, the Supreme Lord is always transcendental. Although we do not see his head, face, hands, or legs, he has them. And when we are elevated to the transcendental situation, we can see the Lord's form. Due to materially contaminated senses, we cannot see his form now. Therefore, the impersonalists, who are still materially affected, cannot understand the personality of Godhead. Text 16. Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charamevacha sukshmatvatat avigyeyam dhurastam chantikechatat. The Supreme Truth exists outside and inside of all living beings, the moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all. Purport. In Vedic literature, we understand that Narayan, the Supreme Person, is residing both outside and inside of every living entity. He is present in both the spiritual and material worlds. Although he is far, far away, still he is near to us. These are the statements of Vedic literature. Asino duram vajati shayano yati sarvata. Katha Upanishad 1-21. And because he is always engaged in transcendental bliss, we cannot understand how he is enjoying his full opulence. We cannot see or understand with these material senses. Therefore, in the Vedic language, it is said that to understand him, our material mind and senses cannot act. But one who has purified his mind and senses by practicing Krishna consciousness in devotional service can see him constantly. It is confirmed in Brahma Samhita that the devotee who has developed love for the Supreme God can see him always without cessation. And it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 11:54 that he can be seen and understood only by devotional service. Bhaktya tunanaya shakya. Text 17. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam ivachastitam bhutabhatra chatagyeyam gvasishnum prabhavishnucha. Although the supersoul appears to be divided among all beings, he is never divided. He is situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all. Purport. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as the supersoul. Does this mean that he has become divided? No. Actually, he is one. The example is given of the sun. The sun, at the meridian, is situated in its place. But if one goes for 5,000 miles in all directions and asks, "Where is the sun?" Everyone will say that it is shining on his head. In the Vedic literature, this example is given to show that although he is undivided, he is situated as if divided. Also, it is said in Vedic literature that one Vishnu is present everywhere by his omnipotence, just as the sun appears in many places to many persons. And the Supreme Lord, although the maintainer of every living entity, devours everything at the time of annihilation. This was confirmed in the 11th chapter when the Lord said that he had come to devour all the warriors assembled at Kurukshetra. He also mentioned that in the form of time, he devours also. He is the annihilator, the killer of all. When there is creation, he develops all from their original state, and at the time of annihilation, he devours them. The Vedic hymns confirm the fact that he is the origin of all living entities and the rest of all. After creation, everything rests in his omnipotence, and after annihilation, everything again returns to rest in him. These are the confirmations of Vedic hymns. Yato vahimani bhutani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat prayanja bisang vishanti tad brahma tad vijigyasasva. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1. Text 18. Jyotisham api tan jyotis tamasak paramuchyate jnanam geyam jnanagamyam vidisavasya vishtitam. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. Purport. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of light in all luminous objects like the sun, moon, and stars. In the Vedic literature, we find that in the spiritual kingdom, there is no need of sun or moon, because the effulgence of the Supreme Lord is there. In the material world, that Brahma Jyoti, the Lord's spiritual effulgence, is covered by the Mahatattva, the material elements. Therefore, in this material world, we require the assistance of sun, moon, electricity, etc. for light. But in the spiritual world, there is no need of such things. It is clearly stated in the Vedic literature that because of his luminous effulgence, everything is illuminated. It is clear, therefore, that his situation is not in the material world. He is situated in the spiritual world, which is far, far away in the spiritual sky. That is also confirmed in the Vedic literature. Adityavarnam tamasakparastat, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8. He is just like the sun, eternally luminous, but he is far, far beyond the darkness of this material world. His knowledge is transcendental. The Vedic literature confirms that Brahman is concentrated transcendental knowledge. To one who is anxious to be transferred to that spiritual world, knowledge is given by the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. One Vedic mantra, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.18, says, Tam hadevam atma buddhi prakasham mamukshur vaisharanam maham prapadye. One must surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he at all wants liberation. As far as the goal of ultimate knowledge is concerned, it is also confirmed in Vedic literature. Tameva vididvati mityumeti. Only by knowing him can one surpass the boundary of birth and death. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8. He is situated in everyone's heart as the Supreme Controller. The Supreme has legs and hands distributed everywhere, and this cannot be said of the individual soul. Therefore, that there are two knowers of the field of activity, the individual soul and the Supersoul, must be admitted. One's hands and legs are distributed locally, but Krishna's hands and legs are distributed everywhere. This is confirmed in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.17. Ishanam sarvasya shadanam vrihat. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supersoul, is the Prabhu, or Master, of all living entities. Therefore, he is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. So there is no denying the fact that the Supreme Supersoul and the individual soul are always different. Text 19. Iti chetram tata jnanam ghiyam chok bhavayo panyate. Thus the field of activities, the body, knowledge, and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature. Purport. The Lord has described in summary the body, knowledge, and the knowable. This knowledge is of three things: the knower, the knowable, and the process of knowing. Combined, these are called vijnana, or the science of knowledge. Perfect knowledge can be understood by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord directly. Others are unable to understand. The monists say that at the ultimate stage, these three items become one, but the devotees do not accept this. Knowledge and development of knowledge mean understanding oneself in Krishna consciousness. We are being led by material consciousness, but as soon as we transfer all consciousness to Krishna's activities and realize that Krishna is everything, then we attain real knowledge. In other words, knowledge is nothing but the preliminary stage of understanding devotional service perfectly. In the 15th chapter, this will be very clearly explained. Chapter 13, text 19, purport continued. Now, to summarize, one may understand that verses 6 and 7, beginning from Mahabhutani and continuing through Chaitanadriti, analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of the symptoms of life. These combine to form the body, or the field of activities. And verses 8 through 12, from Amanitvam through Tattvajnanartadarshanam, describe the process of knowledge for understanding both types of knower of the field of activities, namely the soul and the supersoul. Then verses 13 through 18, beginning from Anadi Matpadam and continuing through Vridisarvasyavishtitam, describe the soul and the Supreme Lord, or the supersoul. Thus, three items have been described: the field of activity, the body, the process of understanding, and both the soul and the supersoul. It is especially described here that only the unalloyed devotees of the Lord can understand these three items clearly. So, for these devotees, Bhagavad Gita is fully useful. It is they who can attain the supreme goal, the nature of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. In other words, only devotees and not others can understand Bhagavad Gita and derive the desired result. Text 20. Prakatim purusham chaiva vidyanadi humbhavapi vikarang chagunang chaiva vidhi prakati sambhavam. Material nature and the living entity should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. Purport. By the knowledge given in this chapter, one can understand the body, the field of activities, and the knowers of the body, both the individual soul and the supersoul. The body is the field of activity and is composed of material nature. The individual soul that is embodied and enjoying the activities of the body is the Purusha, or the living entity. He is one knower, and the other is the supersoul. Of course, it is to be understood that both the supersoul and the individual entity are different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is in the category of his energy, and the supersoul is in the category of his personal expansion. Both material nature and the living entity are eternal. That is to say that they existed before the creation. The material manifestation is from the energy of the Supreme Lord, and so also are the living entities. But the living entities are of the superior energy. Both the living entities and material nature existed before this cosmos was manifested. Material nature was absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, and when it was required, it was manifested by the agency of Mahatattva. Similarly, the living entities are also in him, and because they are conditioned, they are averse to serving the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are not allowed to enter into the spiritual sky. But with the coming forth of material nature, these living entities are again given a chance to act in the material world and prepare themselves to enter into the spiritual world. That is the mystery of this material creation. Actually, the living entity is originally the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but due to his rebellious nature, he is conditioned within material nature. It really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place. In the scriptures, the Lord says that those attracted by this material nature are undergoing a hard struggle for existence, But we should know it with certainty from the descriptions of these few verses that all transformations and influences of material nature by the three modes are also productions of material nature. All transformations and variety in respect to living entities are due to the body. As far as spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same. Text 21. Kaya karna kartritve hetu pakaturuchyate purushak sukha dukkanam bhoktritve hetu ruchyate. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. Purport. The different manifestations of body and senses among the living entities are due to material nature. There are 8,400,000 different species of life, and these varieties are creations of the material nature. They arise from the different sensual pleasures of the living entity, who thus desires to live in this body or that. When he is put into different bodies, he enjoys different kinds of happiness and distress. His material happiness and distress are due to his body and not to himself as he is. In his original state, there is no doubt of enjoyment. Therefore, that is his real state. Because of the desire to lord it over material nature, he is in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no such thing. The spiritual world is pure, but in the material world, everyone is struggling hard to acquire different kinds of pleasures for the body. It might be more clear to state that this body is the effect of the senses. The senses are instruments for gratifying desire. Now, the sum total, body and instrument senses, are offered by material nature. And as will be clear in the next verse, the living entity is blessed or damned with circumstances according to his past desire and activity. According to one's desires and activities, material nature places one in various residential quarters. The being himself is the cause of his attaining such residential quarters and his attendant enjoyment or suffering. Once placed in some particular kind of body, he comes under the control of nature, because the body, being matter, acts according to the laws of nature. At that time, the living entity has no power to change that law. Suppose an entity is put into the body of a dog. As soon as he is put into the body of a dog, he must act like a dog. He cannot act otherwise. And if the living entity is put into the body of a hog, then he is forced to eat stool and act like a hog. Similarly, if the living entity is put into the body of a demigod, he must act according to his body. This is the law of nature. But in all circumstances, the Supersoul is with the individual soul. That is explained in the Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.1, as follows. Dvasaparna sayuja sakaya. The Supreme Lord is so kind upon the living entity that he always accompanies the individual soul and in all circumstances is present as the Supersoul or Paramatma. Text 22. Purushak prakatisto hi bhunkte prakati jan gunan karanang guna sangosya sarasanyo nijanmasu. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Purport. This verse is very important for an understanding of how the living entities transmigrate from one body to another. It is explained in the second chapter that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another just as one changes dress. This change of dress is due to his attachment to material existence. As long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, he has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, the entity is born sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a beast, as a bird, as a worm, as an aquatic, as a saintly man, as a bug. This is going on. And in all cases, the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances, yet he is under the influence of material nature. How he is put into such different bodies is explained here. It is due to association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes and become situated in the transcendental position. That is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, his material consciousness will oblige him to transfer from one body to another because he has material desires since time immemorial. But he has to change that conception. That change can be effected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the science of God from Krishna. The living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature. And gradually and proportionately, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. In a Vedic mantra, it is said that as he becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he proportionately relishes his eternal blissful life. Text 23. Upadrashtana mantacha bharta bhokta maheshwara paramatme iti chapyukto dehismin purushak para. Yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Supersoul. Purport. It is stated here that the Supersoul, who is always with the individual soul, is the representation of the Supreme Lord. He is not an ordinary living entity. Because the monist philosophers take the knower of the body to be one, they think that there is no difference between the Supersoul and the individual soul. To clarify this, the Lord says that he is represented as the Paramatma in every body. He is different from the individual soul. He is para, transcendental. The individual soul enjoys the activities of a particular field, but the Supersoul is present not as finite enjoyer, nor as one taking part in bodily activities, but as the witness, overseer, permitter, and supreme enjoyer. His name is Paramatma, not Atma, and he is transcendental. It is distinctly clear that the Atma and Paramatma are different. The Supersoul, the Paramatma, has legs and hands everywhere, but the individual soul does not. And because the Paramatma is the Supreme Lord, he is present within to sanction the individual soul's desiring material enjoyment. Without the sanction of the Supreme Soul, the individual soul cannot do anything. The individual is bhukta, or the sustained, and the Lord is bhokta, or the maintainer. There are innumerable living entities, and he is staying in them as a friend. The fact is that every individual living entity is eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and both of them are very intimately related as friends. But the living entity has the tendency to reject the sanction of the Supreme Lord and act independently in an attempt to dominate nature. And because he has this tendency, he is called the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. The living entity can be situated either in the material energy or in the spiritual energy. As long as he is conditioned by the material energy, the Supreme Lord, as his friend, the Supersoul, stays with him just to get him to return to the spiritual energy. The Lord is always eager to take him back to the spiritual energy. But due to his minute independence, the individual entity is continually rejecting the association of spiritual light. This misuse of independence is the cause of his material strife in the conditioned nature. The Lord, therefore, is always giving instruction from within and from without. From without, he gives instructions as stated in Bhagavad Gita. And from within, he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in the material field are not conducive to real happiness. Just give it up and turn your faith toward me, then you will be happy, he says. Thus, the intelligent person who places his faith in the Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, begins to advance toward a blissful eternal life of knowledge. Text 24. Yahevam veti purusham prakatim chagunai saha sarvata vartamanopi nasabuhyo vijayate. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Purport. Clear understanding of material nature, the Supersoul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain that he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful eternal life of knowledge. Text 25. Some perceive the Supersoul within themselves through meditation, others through the cultivation of knowledge, and still others through working without fruitive desires. Purport. The Lord informs Arjuna that the conditioned souls can be divided into two classes as far as man's search for self-realization is concerned. Those who are atheists, agnostics, and skeptics are beyond the sense of spiritual understanding. But there are others who are faithful in their understanding of spiritual life, and they are called introspective devotees, philosophers, and workers who have renounced fruitive results. Those who always try to establish the doctrine of monism are also counted among the atheists and agnostics. In other words, only the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are best situated in spiritual understanding, because they understand that beyond this material nature are the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is expanded as the Paramatma, the Supersoul in everyone, the all-pervading Godhead. Of course, there are those who try to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth by cultivation of knowledge, and they can be counted in the class of the faithful. The Sankhya philosophers analyze this material world into 24 elements, and they place the individual soul as the 25th item. When they are able to understand the nature of the individual soul to be transcendental to the material elements, they are able to understand also that above the individual soul, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the 26th element. Thus, gradually, they also come to the standard of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those who work without fruitive results are also perfect in their attitude. They are given a chance to advance to the platform of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Here it is stated that there are some people who are pure in consciousness and who try to find out the Supersoul by meditation. And when they discover the Supersoul within themselves, they become transcendentally situated. Similarly, there are others who also try to understand the Supreme Soul by cultivation of knowledge. And there are others who cultivate the Hatha Yoga system and who try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by childish activities. Text 26. Anye tvevam ajananta shutva nebya upasati tepi chatitatam deva mrityum shuti parayana. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society, because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially, according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. Text 27. Yavat sanjayate kinchit satvang sthavata jangamam chetra chetra gisangyogat tadvidhi maratarshabha. O chief of the Bharatas, know that whatever you see in existence, both the moving and the non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. Purport. Both material nature and the living entity, which were existing before the creation of the cosmos, are explained in this verse. Whatever is created is but a combination of the living entity and material nature. There are many manifestations like trees, mountains, and hills which are not moving, and there are many existences which are moving, and all of them are but combinations of material nature and the superior nature, the living entity. Without the touch of the superior nature, the living entity, nothing can grow. The relationship between material nature and spiritual nature is eternally going on, and this combination is effected by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is the controller of both the superior and inferior natures. The material nature is created by him, and the superior nature is placed in this material nature, and thus all these activities and manifestations take place. Text 28. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinasyat savanasyantam yak pasyati sapasyati. One who sees the supersoul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the supersoul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. Purport. Anyone who, by good association, can see three things combined together, the body, the proprietor of the body or individual soul, and the friend of the individual soul, is actually in knowledge. Unless one has the association of a real knower of spiritual subjects, one cannot see these three things. Those who do not have such association are ignorant. They simply see the body, and they think that when the body is destroyed, everything is finished. But actually, it is not so. After the destruction of the body, both the soul and the supersoul exist, and they go on eternally in many various moving and non-moving forms. The Sanskrit word Parameshwara is sometimes translated as the individual soul, because the soul is the master of the body, and after the destruction of the body he transfers to another form. In that way he is master. But there are others who interpret this Parameshwara to be the supersoul. In either case, both the supersoul and the individual soul continue. They are not destroyed. One who can see in this way can actually see what is happening. Samam pasyan hi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram nahanasyatmanatmanam tato yati parangatim. One who sees the supersoul equally present everywhere, in every living being, does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. Purport. The living entity, by accepting his material existence, has become situated differently than in his spiritual existence. But if one understands that the Supreme is situated in his Paramatma manifestation everywhere, that is, if one can see the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living thing, he does not degrade himself by a destructive mentality, and he therefore gradually advances to the spiritual world. The mind is generally addicted to sense-gratifying processes, but when the mind turns to the Supersoul, one becomes advanced in spiritual understanding. Text 30. Prakritya chakarmani kriyamanani sarvasya yak pasyati tatatmanam akartaram sapasyati. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. Purport. This body is made by material nature under the direction of the supersoul. And whatever activities are going on in respect to one's body are not his doing. Whatever one is supposed to do, either for happiness or for distress, one is forced to do because of the bodily constitution. The self, however, is outside all these bodily activities. This body is given according to one's past desires. To fulfill desires, one is given the body with which he acts accordingly. Practically speaking, the body, designed by the Supreme Lord, is a machine to fulfill desires. Because of desires, one is put into difficult circumstances to suffer or to enjoy. This transcendental vision of the living entity, when developed, makes one separate from bodily activities. One who has such a vision is an actual seer. Text 31. Yada bhuta pradag bhavam ekastam anupashyati tata eva chavistaram brahma sampadyate tada. When a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies, and he sees how beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to the Brahman conception. Purport. When one can see that the various bodies of living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual soul and do not actually belong to the soul itself, one actually sees. In the material conception of life, we find someone a demigod, someone a human being, a dog, a cat, etc. This is material vision, not actual vision. This material differentiation is due to a material conception of life. After the destruction of the material body, the spirit soul is one. The spirit soul, due to contact with material nature, gets different types of bodies. When one can see this, he attains spiritual vision. Thus being freed from differentiations like man, animal, big, low, etc., one becomes purified in his consciousness and able to develop Krishna consciousness in his spiritual identity. How he then sees things will be explained in the next verse. Text 32. Naditvan nirgunatvat panamatmahim avyaya sharirastopi konteya nakaroti nalipyate. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. Purport. A living entity appears to be born because of the birth of the material body. But actually, the living entity is eternal. He is not born, and in spite of his being situated in a material body, he is transcendental and eternal. Thus, he cannot be destroyed. By nature, he is full of bliss. He does not engage himself in any material activities. Therefore, the activities performed due to his contact with material bodies do not entangle him. Text 33. Yata sarvakatam sakshmyad akasham no palipyate sarvatravastito dehe tatatma no palipyate. The sky, due to its subtle nature, does not mix with anything, although it is all-pervading. Similarly, the soul does not mix with the body, though situated in that body. One in Brahman vision can see this. Purport. The air enters into water, mud, stool, and whatever else is there. Still, it does not mix with anything. Similarly, the living entity, even though situated in varieties of bodies, is aloof from them due to his subtle nature. Therefore, it is impossible to see with the material eyes how the living entity is in contact with this body and how he is out of it after the destruction of the body. No one in science can ascertain this. Text 34. Yata prakasha yateka kutsnam lokam imam ravi chetrang cheti tata kutsnam prakasha yati bharata. O son of Bharat, as the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so does the living entity, one within the body, illuminate the entire body by consciousness. Purport. There are various theories regarding consciousness. Here in Bhagavad Gita, the example of the sun and the sunshine is given. As the sun is situated in one place but is illuminating the whole universe, so a small particle of spirit soul, although situated in the heart of this body, is illuminating the whole body by consciousness. Thus, consciousness is the proof of the presence of the soul, as sunshine or light is the proof of the presence of the sun. When the soul is present in the body, there is consciousness all over the body, and as soon as the soul has passed from the body, there is no more consciousness. This can be easily understood by any intelligent man. Therefore, consciousness is not a product of the combinations of matter. It is the symptom of the living entity. The consciousness of the living entity, although qualitatively one with the supreme consciousness, is not supreme, because the consciousness of one particular body does not share that of another body. But the Supersoul, which is situated in all bodies as the friend of the individual soul, is conscious of all bodies. That is the difference between supreme consciousness and individual consciousness. Text 35. Chaitra chaitranga yorevam antaram gana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha yevadur yanti te param. Those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body, and can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature, attain to the supreme goal. Purport. The purport of this 13th chapter is that one should know the distinction between the body, the owner of the body, and the Supersoul. One should recognize the process of liberation as described in verses 8 through 12. Then one can go on to the supreme destination. A faithful person should at first have some good association to hear of God and thus gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit, and that becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his students to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna instructing Arjuna to free him from materialistic considerations. One can understand that this body is matter. It can be analyzed with its 24 elements. The body is the gross manifestation, and the subtle manifestation is the mind and psychological effects. And the symptoms of life are the interaction of these features. But over and above this, there is the soul, and there is also the Supersoul. The soul and the Supersoul are two. This material world is working by the conjunction of the soul and the 24 material elements. One who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as this combination of the soul and material elements, and can also see the situation of the supreme soul, becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization, and one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. Chapter 14, The Three Modes of Material Nature. Text 1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Parambhuya Praksyami Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam Yajngatva Muna Yaksave Param Siddhi Mitogata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Again I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection." Purport. From the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the Lord Himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained that it is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world. Now, in this chapter, the Supreme Personality explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attain perfection and transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained, and knowing this, many attain perfection. Thus, it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. Text 2. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadhramyam agata sarge pinopajayante palayena vyatanti cha. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. Purport. After acquiring perfect transcendental knowledge, one acquires qualitative equality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming free from the repetition of birth and death. One does not, however, lose his identity as an individual soul. It is understood from Vedic literature that the liberated souls who have reached the transcendental planets of the spiritual sky always look to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, being engaged in his transcendental loving service. So, even after liberation, the devotees do not lose their individual identities. Generally, in the material world, whatever knowledge we get is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. Knowledge which is not contaminated by the three modes of nature is called transcendental knowledge. As soon as one is situated in that transcendental knowledge, he is on the same platform as the Supreme Person. Those who have no knowledge of the spiritual sky hold that after being freed from the material activities of the material form, the spiritual identity becomes formless without any variegatedness. However, just as there is material variegatedness in this world, in the spiritual world there is also variegatedness. Those in ignorance of this think that spiritual existence is opposed to material variety. But actually, in the spiritual sky, one attains a spiritual form. There are spiritual activities, and the spiritual situation is called devotional life. That atmosphere is said to be uncontaminated, and there one is equal in quality with the Supreme Lord. To obtain such knowledge, one must develop all the spiritual qualities. One who thus develops the spiritual qualities is not affected either by the creation or by the destruction of the material world. Text 3. Mama yonir mahad brahma tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhavaksarva bhutanam tato bhavadi bharata. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharat. Purport. This is an explanation of the world. Everything that takes place is due to the combination of Chaitra and Chaitra-gya, the body and the spirit soul. This combination of material nature and the living entity is made possible by the Supreme God himself. The Mahat-tattva is the total cause of the total cosmic manifestation, and that total substance of the material cause, in which there are three modes of nature, is sometimes called Brahman. The Supreme Personality impregnates that total substance, and thus innumerable universes become possible. This total material substance, the Mahat-tattva, is described as Brahman in the Vedic literature. Mundaka Upanishad 1.19. Tasmad etad brahmanama rupam annam cha jayate. The Supreme Person impregnates that Brahman with the seeds of the living entities. The 24 elements, beginning from earth, water, fire, and ether, are all material energy, and they constitute what is called Mahat Brahma, or the great Brahman, the material nature. As explained in the 7th chapter, beyond this there is another, superior nature, the living entity. Into material nature, the superior nature is mixed by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thereafter all living entities are born of this material nature. The scorpion lays its eggs in piles of rice, and sometimes it is said that the scorpion is born out of rice. But the rice is not the cause of the scorpion. Actually, the eggs were laid by the mother. Similarly, material nature is not the cause of the birth of the living entities. The seed is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they only seem to come out as products of material nature. Thus, every living entity, according to his past activities, has a different body created by this material nature, so that the entity can enjoy or suffer according to his past deeds. The Lord is the cause of all the manifestations of living entities in this material world. Text 4. Sarvayonishakanteya murtayak sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyoni aham bija pradakpita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original father of all living entities. The living entities are combinations of the material nature and the spiritual nature. Such living entities are seen not only on this planet, but on every planet, even on the highest, where Brahma is situated. Everywhere there are living entities. Within the earth there are living entities, even within water and within fire. All these appearances are due to the mother, material nature, and Krishna's seed-giving process. The purport is that the material world is impregnated with living entities who come out in various forms at the time of creation according to their past deeds. Text 5. Sattvang rajas tamahiti guna prakriti sambhava nibadhnande mahabaho dehi dehanam avyayam. Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. Purport. The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with this material nature. Still, because he has become conditioned by the material world, he is acting under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because living entities have different kinds of bodies in terms of the different aspects of nature, they are induced to act according to that nature. This is the cause of the varieties of happiness and distress. Text 6. Tattva sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukasangena badnati jnanasangena chanagha. O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. Purport. The living entities, conditioned by material nature, are of various types. One is happy, another is very active, and another is helpless. All these types of psychological manifestations are causes of the entity's conditioned status in nature. How they are differently conditioned is explained in this section of Bhagavad Gita. The mode of goodness is first considered. The effect of developing the mode of goodness in the material world is that one becomes wiser than those otherwise conditioned. A man in the mode of goodness is not so much affected by material miseries, and he has a sense of advancement in material knowledge. The representative type is the Brahman, who is supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness. This sense of happiness is due to understanding that, in the mode of goodness, one is more or less free from sinful reactions. Actually, in the Vedic literature, it is said that the mode of goodness means greater knowledge and a greater sense of happiness. The difficulty here is that when a living entity is situated in the mode of goodness, he becomes conditioned to feel that he is advanced in knowledge and is better than others. In this way, he becomes conditioned. The best examples are the scientist and the philosopher. Each is very proud of his knowledge, and because they generally improve their living conditions, they feel a sort of material happiness. This sense of advanced happiness in conditioned life makes them bound by the mode of goodness of material nature. As such, they are attracted toward working in the mode of goodness, and as long as they have an attraction for working in that way, they have to take some type of body in the modes of nature. Thus, there is no likelihood of liberation or of being transferred to the spiritual world. Repeatedly, one may become a philosopher, a scientist, or a poet, and repeatedly become entangled in the same disadvantages of birth and death. But due to the illusion of the material energy, one thinks that that sort of life is pleasant. Text 7. Raja ragatmakam vidhi krishna sanga samudbhavam tannabadnati kunteya karma sangena dehinam. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings, O son of Kunti. And because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. Purport. The mode of passion is characterized by the attraction between man and woman. Woman has attraction for man, and man has attraction for woman. This is called the mode of passion. And when the mode of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. He wants to enjoy sense gratification. For sense gratification, a man in the mode of passion wants some honor in society or in the nation, and he wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife, and house. These are the products of the mode of passion. As long as one is hankering after these things, he has to work very hard. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that he becomes associated with the fruits of his activities and thus becomes bound by such activities. In order to please his wife, children, and society, and to keep up his prestige, one has to work. Therefore, the whole material world is more or less in the mode of passion. Modern civilization is considered to be advanced in the standard of the mode of passion. Formerly, the advanced condition was considered to be in the mode of goodness. If there is no liberation for those in the mode of goodness, what to speak of those who are entangled in the mode of passion? Text 8. Tamastrangyanajang vidhi mohanang sarvadehinam pramadalasinindravis tannabodhnati bharata. O son of Bharat, know that the mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. Purport. In this verse, the specific application of the word "to" is very significant. This means that the mode of ignorance is a very peculiar qualification of the embodied soul. The mode of ignorance is just the opposite of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what. But the mode of ignorance is just the opposite. Everyone under the spell of the mode of ignorance becomes mad, and the madman cannot understand what is what. Instead of making advancement, one becomes degraded.